Good day, ladies and gents. Welcome to the Fairway Fit Golf Podcast, where two friends get together to talk about how we are trying to look good, feel good, and play good. Let's go.
All right, Fairway Fit fans, welcome back. Season 2, Episode 4, Episode 29, as we get going. And yes, we are recapping Major Number 1. Before we get into Major Number 1, as we see the excitement from Greg, let's talk about the weekend. Greg, I don't know about you, but I've been super busy. And unfortunately, it was not with golf. I was able to watch about 7 hours of 10-year-old basketball on Saturday.
Solid.
And then between today, I was on the field for a good 3.5 hours getting it prepped because of all the rain. And I was able to follow up with 2 doubleheaders with my other guy, too. So what about you? I know you started some youth sports this weekend.
Yeah. I made my T-ball coaching debut for the Green Rangers. I guess we're Tommies, if you want to call them that. I'm dating myself.
Dude, I love
by
the
saying
Rangers.
That, but at the same time, Elise started T-ball, so I had to be the coach. It was great. I'm the assistant coach, and probably lasted about 30 minutes before I kind of was like, you mind if I just step in?
And yeah, that's what I was going to get. I know when I asked you how it went, You kind of said you became the head coach, and that's what I was going to go with. Did you get asked to take over, or did you just kind of?
It was kind of like I went up to the guy that's the head coach, awesome guy, super enthusiastic and whatnot. And I was just kind of like, hey, you mind if I just kind of run this session? Like, because we had 30 minutes to practice before we had a game. So like right. at this level, it's like 30 minute practice, 30 minute game, you're done.
Yeah.
And so you're meeting all the kids the first thing. And so like we're throwing and catching, and like really like that's all we're doing. It's like tossing and catching back and forth with your
point
your kids
to your target,
other kid.
Step with the opposite foot.
And not even just get the ball to the other person.
With them and looking, like make sure they're like looking.
Elise, I'm sitting there, turn your shoulder, step opposition, you know, bring that thing back. Like then when we got to hitting, I was like, all right, you mind if I just kind of step in? And he was like, dude, tell you the truth, I'm leaning on you right now. He was like, you take it, I'll follow your lead. And I was like, okay. All right, Matt. Okay. So it was good, you know, brought him in. We gave out the enthusiasm medal for the first day, which
there
is
you go.
That's game something
ball.
Weird.
Game ball.
Yeah, basically, I guess you could say game ball. You know, maybe I'll go to the Dick's Sporting Goods and buy a couple game balls and start doing that rather than doing the medals every single day. But
in some leagues they get like actual baseballs for games only. Like you get your pearls, you get the white ones for the game, and then usually just give them out. But you may not just because it's practice.
You get the Incredibles. Yeah, we get the Incredibles.
They would still eat that alive.
Elise is batting 1,000, scored a run, only cried once. So
is it station to station? You hit and run, and then you can't even go in an overthrow.
Yeah, basically that. One kid did run by all of the base runners and just getting in the park home run. But I mean, good for him, dude. He just wanted to run.
Take the initiative.
But then after that, I had to head down to McLean for a wrestling tournament because I had kids wrestling. So I had somebody covering for me in the morning. I went down there in the afternoon and then got home and I crashed on Saturday night. I was exhausted. I fell asleep, I think, by like 9:30, 10 o'clock. I didn't even see the end of the Duke game.
I didn't either. I actually was the same. Our buddy Anthony was over for a while. We talked about a lot of good things I'll fill you in a little bit here. We talked about some Fairway Fit stuff. But they were up 13-14. And then I woke up and was like, I thought they'd win by 20 the way they were playing. And they just kind of like what we talked about ever down at the Fairway Fit Cup. We played not to lose.
Yeah.
And ended up losing that one, you know. We held on Fairway Fit Cup. We were able to bring home the cup right here behind me. Rick's still
that is
here.
True. That is
hasn't,
true.
Hasn't moved. You know, we were able to do it. And I have to keep saying, okay, stay on that high because we're going to get into the Major One review. But
and then today, all we had was we had swim lessons. Then we went to Lark Brewery, ran the kids ragged around there. Went to Dick's. I did purchase a bat and a helmet for Elise because she wanted her own. So, you know,
paint.
Yeah. Pink and blue bat. Pink and blue bat, and then a pink helmet.
Yeah, Tatum's was the same first year we got her to that. So
spent a little bit more money than I thought I was going to spend on it, but whatever.
My rule with Tyler is that you have to hit your batting average just has to be the same as the price of the bat.
Okay, well, she's batting 1,000, and I only spent like I think $40 on her bat.
You're rolling in those. Wait till they get to it. If she sticks with it, wait till the softball or baseball, whatever she decides.
Oh, I'm not even looking forward to that. I'm going to take out a second mortgage.
You do. I've licked into loans just to take out for a bat. And then you have to have one for Little League and then one for travel.
It'll be the reason why I'm still hitting with my Covert 2 three wood in 5 years.
It is a good one. And you hit it well the other day. So, yeah. All right, let's talk.
Like right here on my shelf, this imaginary shelf, I have the major number one championship.
Yeah. So let's talk major number one. We did get out 2 days ago on Friday. We were ready to get out. Greg came out and joined us at Stone Lee. And go ahead and tell us. Greg actually arrived to the golf course before I did.
I was prior to Brad. I mean, somehow I'm driving 45 minutes. He's got a 5-minute commute. And
yeah.
Or a four-minute walk.
Four-minute walk.
And yeah. I was there. I was laced up and ready to go even before he pulled in. I was shocked. I think I sat in my car for 10 minutes because I was like,
oh, easy now.
Am I at the wrong? I thought I was at the wrong. I was like, am I at the wrong course? Were we meeting somebody else?
Yeah, I got wrapped up doing stuff. Did a lot of editing that morning. And before I looked up, it was this time. And then I thought the car would be done. And then it was, I had to get a ride over. And I mean, I could complain and make excuses, but you did.
Threw off your game.
We still got a decent little warm up, played with a good buddy of ours, Dave. And then we got out there and the weather ended up being fine. Yeah. I think maybe a light mist at one time early on, but it wasn't like
maybe
anything that like really caught us. It was cart path only for about two holes. And then our pro came out and told us that we were allowed to leave the cart path. But anything up top, up on the mountain anyway is usually a little bit drier. So I know we warmed up. We did get a little bit of a warm up in. We got to hit a couple of balls, some brand new range balls. It looks like that have been added to the
yellow ones. Nice ones.
Yeah. Well, I think they were yellow. They looked either they were brand new clean. Or they actually did upgrade.
I don't know. I don't know if you could clean the old range balls to make them look like that.
Yeah, but I don't know. They were pretty bad. No, you're right. Hopefully they are.
Those look like brand new balls right out of the box.
Hopefully they were. This is about the time they did it last year, but I was kind of shocked they did it 2 years in a row. Maybe they needed to add a total to have a certain rotating baskets. Because sometimes it does get up there and you don't get any balls because they're all out on the range. So. But anyway, we got out. Good weather. Like we said, our buddy Dave was there with us. And we were in a 18-hole match play competition. I think I was running the scorecard. You were running Grit. Grit had you at a 16. And Grit had me at a 5. You know, with the slope and rating at Stone Lee, we always play a little bit above our handicaps as it is. And I don't know. We actually got off fairly well, fairly quick. No issues. I thought the course was in pretty decent shape. It was pretty wet from the rain, but it wasn't unplayable by any means. No excuses there. We did play lift, clean, and play center fairway, which is honestly fairly common for us. We usually do roll it in the fairway just due to in case we land in a divot or something crazy. We're not pros. We don't need to pretend that we are. But off the fairway, we were able to play it down. I think there was maybe one time the ball was embedded, and I think that was early on too. So,
yeah,
it was a couple low spots, just like any golf course. But let's talk golf. Great. We'll tip my hat to you. Probably played your best I've seen you in almost a year and a half.
I would say so too. As far as consistency.
And go ahead. You can give the credit to Brian or me 7 years ago when I told you to make the change. But no, Brian. Our buddy Brian from who was down with us at Fairway Fit Cup, you know, one thing that we had talked about, and he always tries to help me with little things here and there, especially chipping and putting, was some grip change. And I know you went in full bore with a change and you stuck to it without being able to hit balls just through the warm up. You stuck to it. Tell us about it. How did it feel?
It still felt awkward. I mean, I practiced with it with the click stick and just a regular. One of my clubs in the weight room doing dry swings and stuff like that, not even hitting a ball. I didn't even hit a foam ball this week with that. The only real balls I hit were on the range right before the round. But it was one of those things where, like, just like I told you on the course, sometimes, you know, your parents can tell you something 9 million times. It just needs a different voice to tell you. And then I'm like, all right, maybe if somebody else is, you know, if my opponent's not telling me, maybe it is real. Went with it. And I mean, it still felt awkward in the beginning. I mean, it still does. I mean, what was it on four? Yeah, on four, where I almost let go of the club because, you know, I'm just very much so used to holding the club in my hands rather than in my fingertips. But I mean, as far as consistency, even that, I mean, I let go of the club, but I mean, it was kind of just a low spinner. Right. It wasn't really like I mishit it or anything like that. I just almost on the follow through, just that right hand came off the club all the way. But
one thing that I noticed, something we've always talked about, and since we've been playing, I mean, an enormous amount of golf, you always talk about how you got flip your hands to save, sometimes sink the club face to keep that ball, and you get that little, it's kind of like a little bit of a baby draw because you're flipping it at the last second and catching it on its way up and going. And from the little I saw, just one day I saw you, I didn't feel like I saw much flippiness. Now, obviously, as you start getting comfortable with it, you're going to be able to kind of work your way on what side of the golf course you're going to take away, especially off the tee. We're talking about off the tee here. Like, you're going to either take away the left to play a cut, or you take away the right and always try to draw it back in. I feel like you're still figuring out which way is your best.
I think I hit the ball straighter than I've ever have. That's right. The thing. It's like I was actually still playing for a draw, and I was hitting the ball straight.
But that's where I was getting at. I don't think you had to do any sort of flip with the hands.
And, yeah, I didn't.
You had
didn't
a couple bad ones.
Yeah.
I mean, even you know, I have a couple bad ones here and there. Yeah, more than a couple. But you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't, and like your misses were playable misses. And except for the couple holes, and we'll get to those couple holes, which is why the score ended up being where it was. But I mean, I really thought it was one of the more consistent. And then the iron play, I think, just was the combination of putting it together. I mean, I don't know your numbers, and we'll talk numbers here, but you probably hit more greens than you're used to. And if you missed them, you just missed them. It wasn't I didn't think you had any chunks where, like, you had a couple in Myrtle where it was a 70-yard shot when you're trying to hit it 150 yards.
Yeah.
I didn't see that. And if it did, it was so rare that it wasn't something that
stuck out.
But it didn't. And, like, and I even told you, and I think we were a good chunk in, and even Dave came up to me and he goes, he's playing really well. And I was like, he is. And I was like, my only thing I was waiting for Greg of last week to show up. And it wasn't a me. You can take it how you want, but I wasn't saying it like, you know, I'm waiting for that. But it was like, I need that to be in the match.
I was waiting for a blow up hole as well.
I think you got higher numbers at times.
Yeah.
But I also think combination of a swing change, combination of a difficult golf course, got you on a couple holes, and that's where it kind of ended up. So let's review the numbers real quick. Let's go ahead and go through your front nine numbers. Do you have those in front of you?
We do.
Yeah, let's just go through front nine, and then we'll go through kind of how the match went through nine holes, which I have written down for us. So
I shot a 43. I had 17 putts. I hit four for seven fairways, and I was 44% green and red. But I mean, really, when you take away eight was the bad one, was a quad. I mean, I went bogey, and I doubled number one. So I basically had two bogeys, a double bogey, a birdie, and a quad on the front nine.
Right.
Parred the rest of the holes.
Quad was the one chunk.
Right.
You went left. You laid up like you're supposed to. You didn't lay up far enough, but you end up laying up in the rough, and it got you a little bit because you couldn't cover the water. So, but 43, I mean, I guarantee you before the round, I said, you're going to shoot a 43 in the front. And you would have said, right, here's my clubs. I'm done. I'll see you on number 10. which I would have been like, all right, 43s, we're going to be like neck and neck, how it was going to be. So my numbers were pretty similar. I was 4 of 7 on fairways. I was 5 of 9 at green. So I think that's one more green than you. And then I putted pretty poorly. I had 19 putts on the front side, which included 2 3 putts, which one was actually, it could have been a 3 putt. Although I was off the green, even though I putted. So probably 3 3 putts. Highlights of it, we both birdied number 2, which is the number.
We had probably one of the most impressive groupings of balls of any group probably on that course that day.
We did. Well, all 3 of us were in fairway. All 3 of us were inside 5 feet.
5, 6 feet, maybe.
We had tops, and all 3 of us birdied. And I wish we had a cameraman up there to see what the ball did, because we don't even know what the ball is until we get up there on the top of the green, walk back, and then it's sitting in the bowl and all of us were right there. So I know we both birdied 2. I didn't have another birdie on the day. Your other birdie was on the back.
But, it was on 10.
But easily, my round kind of hurt a little bit on 7. I got a little bit of a bad break. Thought I hit a decent little wedge in there. I doubled that. So that got me, I think you poured 7 because you played a nice putt down the thing. And then even though you took a quad on 8, I also took a double on 8, which made me shoot a 41 when it came down to it. So overall, straight up 43, 41. The match through 6 holes, you took, I think I went up on 1, and then we went back and forth a little bit. But you were 3 up through 6 holes, and then you stretched it to, I think, 4 up through 9 holes. We kind of went back and forth for the next 3 or 4 holes.
And 9 was that. 9 was a big one. Me kind of, I caught my tee shot a little fat, was back, and then hit that draw 9 iron that got me to the fringe, and then 2-putted from there, which to save par, which was huge.
Yeah, I mean, you after 8... After 8, I think you mashed me. You took advantage of your strokes. And if I was making par, you were either making par on top of me, or you saved a couple with the bogey and was keeping it right there. But a lot of times it was a par on top of my par. And I'm not going to win that one. I'm giving up a stroke on the hole. So I'll do my back first, because we know. The trend that we're going in the back, my back, I was 5 of 7 fairways. I was 6 of 9 greens. So I actually hit it a little bit better on the back. The oddly enough is I don't think I actually hit it better. I just landed better. Because you remember I had kind of some hard right to left 3 woods, which I was trying to play a little bit, but not the way they came out. But I got lucky, kept them in the fairway. I still couldn't putt, had 17 putts. Had another official 3 putts. I had 3 3 putts on the day, which are killers. And then I also, 17 putts, ended with a 38. So through 8 holes, I was, I shot 41. I was 5 over from 8 to 18. I played the rest of the way 2 over. I had 2 bogeys.
You settled in. I hung on for dear life, basically.
I think I bogeyed 12 and I bogeyed 13, which were 12 I left short. Tough hole. You had a tough hole there too. That's a tough hole. And then 13, if you remember, that was the 3 putt. And I ended up giving, I think I gave that back to you, which hurt because I won the hole on 12. Give it right back to you on 13. Mm-hmm. So I went 79 overall with a net 74. So throw yours out there, then I'll go how the match went.
I made the back look kind of the complete opposite of the front score wise. Like I said, like
not on 10.
I was hitting the ball well, but I just wasn't scoring nearly as much. I was making mistakes that were causing me, hit OB and have to drop back in or anything like that.
On 10, I got scared. I had a
nice tee shot. Had my approach shot that was stuck right to, almost like kick in.
More feet, baby.
So birdied number 10. Yeah. But then kind of just, 11 had a good tee shot, left the approach short, kind of hit a wedge a little bit long and had a two putt coming back. 12, notorious blow up hole for me. Had a drop there because I lost the ball. 13 had an amazing three putt after hitting it on the green. So that par three, I had the three putt to hit a bogey.
But we tied. That was the thing. I three putted too. Yeah. We tied, and that's when it was kind of like, oh boy. Through 13, 14 is the hole that angles you dead straight out of bounds, and you hit a good ball. It just
right OB.
It just right off the bat. I think we were both like, that's OB. And what'd you get on that hole though? Because did you
14? I had a seven. I tripled
because you bogeyed that ball. The next ball.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
But then 15 had another bad hole coming back up. That was that long par five that I dunked one in the water and.
Well, you might've had a little bit of an influence after you tugged it left. You kind of, you hit a decent ball off the tee. I think we're pretty close to each other off the tee.
Yeah. I was probably like 15 yards back behind you.
And I think that was the only out of the two bad swing, two bad as it, poor contact, left, right stuff. You kind of chunked one pull left. And I remember I turned around like, why would you not go for it now? You know, 260 to the pin, 258 carry.
What can I say? I'm very easily persuaded when I'm on the golf course.
But what did I do? I turned around, put my 3 wood back and said, I'm just going to lay up. After you did that, it might make me lay up. So,
okay.
Brooke likes to call me out on 15 that I light up again, won the hole. I did win the hole. He took a 9, but I won the hole the par. Pretty easy par.
Yes, so. Yes. And then it came basically to we were dormy on 16.
Yeah, so I think through, okay, so I had it, I was 3 down through 6. I was 4 down at the turn. And then I was able to get it. I think I was 5 down with 5 to play. I won 14. I won 15. We went to 16. It was my tee box. I hit pretty solid shot, maybe 15 feet just right of the hole. It pushed it just off the line, but I don't. Like I said, I would take that 9 times out of 10 in a heartbeat. You left yours a little short.
I left mine short. I was about probably maybe
8 yards off the
maybe 8 yards off, yeah. off the front
off the
of
the green.
Green.
Off the green. Yeah.
And then I went with your favorite shot. Just a putting stroke wedge and putted it close to one putt for the par. And
yeah, that shot, that toe down chip has grown with me when you do it with and I've been trying to do it too with more of a, like a pitching wedge, something that's, I don't know how to say it because I don't know what the bounces are on your like sets, like my set. I don't know.
Well, that's the wedge that came with the set.
Right. So it's mine. So like, I don't mind the toe down chip with there. I don't love the toe down chip with like a 60 because I always feel like it's not made, you know.
I can't do it with my Titleists.
Yeah.
Like I find like if I try and do with my Vokies or anything like that, like I skull it or I screw it up.
Yeah. Mine. Yeah. I don't think I get it. So when you had it, I didn't know what you were chipping with. I kind of thought, I was hoping it was like a 5 iron. You were going to blade it across the green, but you didn't. You chipped it close. I think I just missed my putt. It was a pretty close one. And then that ended up wrapping it up. So, 16, we both parred, but you were able to take the max 3 up with 2 to play. You were 3 up with 2 to play. So congrats. Major number one victory. I did recall and I did
say going back to back. Back-to-back major champ.
Thank you. I did say
I'll bow down to your definition. I will say I'm a back-to-back champion. And I'm looking to start my streak next week.
I like it, but it's not my definition. It's Wikipedia's / Major League,
Wikipedia,
the movie Major
Brad
League.
Water, yeah. Whatever. Same difference.
So, yes, hopefully I'll be able to fight that off and hold off the streak. But I think we both ended up, did we both par 17?
No, I went bogey bogey to finish.
You went bogey bogey.
Because remember,
finish.
18 I hit, I or 17 I had right. A chunk, and then 18 I went right. So yeah. I had to drop.
But with
back
it being over, you finished bogey, bogey. I finished par, par. You were 92 net 76.
Yes, sir.
So I need to stay away from the match place. I think I can still hang with the stroke play.
You still murdered me on percentages though, because like I was 34 putts. You were 36. That's a high number for you. I know that. Mm-hmm. I had 5-1 putts on the day, and I think I only had 1-3 putt on that par three. But you were 64% on fairways. I was only 30. You were 61% on greens. I was only 33. So the back nine just murdered my numbers by doing that. I mean, we were pretty close number wise on the front besides the greens. But you killed me on the back.
I think it, cause I actually saw, Brian and Dave the next day, and they were, did you come back? Did you? It's like, no, I lost. And they're like, really? I was like, yeah. I go in a max play. I go, he had three triples and a quad for 13 extra shots that he lost. I go, but he shot 92. So you cut that in half. He shoots 85. I was like, yeah, I can't give up that shooting 85. And Dave was like, yeah, he did. He played very consistent. He was like, he had another triple in the back. I was like, no, he had a quad on the back. Yeah. He was shocked to see. Because, I mean, so you have to be stoked though. You take the four holes away, which three of them had drops on them. One of them had two drops on them. You cut that 13 strokes to 7. You clean up your putts. Now you did have a lot of one putts, which with 5-1 putts is a lot. That's a lot. I mean, I missed 5 greens, and no, I missed up the 5 greens I missed that where I actually had a chance to get up and down. I got up and down 2 out of 5 times. So getting up and down that many times or one putting that many times, that's impressive. So you've got to be pretty stoked on the way.
Putting was something that I was actually doing pretty well, even down at Myrtle.
Yeah, but the greens were punched.
That is true. But I will say they were punched, but they ran pretty darn nice.
They did. They did in spots. I mean, you remember I had a ball that kind of, I don't think it was going to go in, but I ran out of steam and almost rolled and went back on a hole. So they definitely caused.
I had one that wiggled right at the last second.
They definitely caused distraction. Is it going to change our numbers? I don't think me and you both can sit here and say it's going to change our numbers, but it definitely was. It made it more difficult. It made it more challenging. So, but no, taps, congrats, hats off. I mean, major number one, that's back-to-back majors for you. How's it feel? Because I mean, I went through all that, so I just wanted to share.
It was great. The fact that all of the trash talking I did on the last episode of saying, like, I can't wait to continue my streak and then have the entire off season of us debating on what a streak actually was, and then at least let me get the back-to-back rather than be losing major number one and having to start over again.
I mean, you still have started a streak if you win that third one. You just got to get the three.
Correct. I just got to get to three, and then I have a streak going.
It still counts it, but you're work now. You can say you're trying to get that streak going. You still had to do two. But anyway, that's besides. But we'll get off. That is. But no, I mean, you played well. I know my brother Brian asked how you played, and he's like, he loves that course. I was like, you have seen him play that course twice. I was like, I've seen him play it in heavy winds, and we don't really have too much wind going on.
I mean, I've played it well once in front of Brian, and then
you've only played it a handful of times. So
the rest of the times, I've probably been right around that score and or plus. Yeah. Like I've never been the 183 that I threw up there last year was totally out of it.
But if someone watched your round and said he shot 92, they'd be like, no way. And then I'm like, he had three triples and a quad. You're like, okay, I can see that.
Yeah.
I mean, but I mean, you have to feel good about it. It's still early April, still have time. You know, you still are putting your plan together. And so that's what's going to lead us into our next segment is we're going to talk our plan for the week and over the next couple of weeks. And, you know, I was able to text Greg today when we were talking about what our episode was going to finish with tonight. And I was like, hey, look, let's talk about this plan in the weight room for not just myself, but maybe for others who are listening can use it as well too. But, you know, we're talking about the intentionality piece. I know right now on my calendar, I have 2 days I'm going to try to at least get over to the golf course. Now it's a freakishly weird cold week this week.
It is.
I don't know if it's like high of low 50s all week. Which
the morning range sessions are going to be cold for me. Yeah. But you know what? I'll just throw on my rain gloves and have gloves on both hands. It's fine.
Well, as long as it's not frozen wet, because you don't want to be pounding into the mat with a cold mat. But you'll be fine
with the brand new ferrule.
yeah, brand new 5-iron, basically. But Greg is going to help us out with more of a strength training program. So he's going to kind of more directed towards myself, but also directed to everybody. He's going to kind of manipulate what he does. And what I did, I was able to ask Greg, I was, hey, we got 4 weeks till Gents Cup. We got a week of work here. Then we're actually off for spring break. Come back for a week, maybe 2 weeks. I think it's two weeks. And then we're off to Gents Cup. So the 4 week plan, I was looking for something to be in the weight room four times on more of a structure type plan. I do try to get in there five times, but that fifth one's kind of my mobility.
Four days a week of strength training is going to suffice for sure.
Yeah, but I mean,
any level of really, like, I mean, I shoot for six personally, but most of the time I want at least four.
Yeah.
It's anywhere between four and six is like the good go-to amount of strength training in a week.
Yeah. And I'd like to add that fifth day for my beach stuff.
Exactly. You got to have a beach day. You got to have a little arms and core day.
Yeah. Thighs, tries, flies, and abs. Yeah. Here we go. Let's go. And I make sure to wear my tank top on that day. So
nice. Is it a stringer one? One of those like Venice Beach ones? But I like simple and easy. I like, you know, I'm just as much of a get in, get out type person as you are. Yes, back in the day when I was young and had all the time in the world, I would love to spend an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes, 2 hours in the gym, you know, just basically, you know, smoking and joking with all the guys there and you know what. So now being of age and having responsibilities, I try and limit mine to like no more than 35 minutes in the weight room. So, and most of the time I'm right around the 30 minute range because I like to circuit train, take limited amount of rest. And yes, that means that sometimes I'm lowering the weight. But at the same time, lately, and something I want to turn you on to, that's why I'm going to explain this to you, is that end range training is basically taking your muscles all the way to the end of their range of motion and then starting the contraction there, because then you're getting strength throughout the full range of motion. You're not shortening your range of motion. You're not shortening your strength gains. And tell you the truth, in a golf swing, you want power through a full range of motion. You don't want it in an end range.
So in range of motion. If
so, think of if I was doing a bench press or if I was doing a push-up is going to mimic a normal bench press range.
Yep.
But if I did a push-up on two elevated benches where I was able to go down and actually stretch far back to the point where I'd feel a stretch in my pectoral minor, then contract up, I'd be hitting that end range.
Okay.
So this is a lot of dumbbell work.
So I will say, now I get what you're saying. As a baseball guy, I was always in the bench press world not allowed to do that.
So But tell you the truth, this is even great for baseball players. You know why? Because you're not limiting the range of motion. You're actually increasing it.
Yeah, but you're hitting labrum, and that's the one you're
trying to
say.
Little bit, yes.
So we used to do, when I was at college.
Coming from a guy with two bad labrums, my shoulders never felt better.
We used to do a lot of block work in college. So it'd be two
block
by four.
Under chest?
Yeah, to be two, if not three, two by whatever's. Somehow screwed, glued together, however they did it. And we would do a lot of explosion stuff that way. It was just, that was only when we went heavyweight. When we did lighter weight, it was never something we were worried about. But I know we're talking about all exercises. We just happened to bring up the one that I,
right.
I remember.
Exactly.
I can't, but you know, I could throw, I mean, I'm still bringing it in BP. I mean, these 10-year-olds are still struggling to put the ball in play off me. So
if T-Man makes the pros, he's hitting pops up to come throw it for him at the home run derby.
I mean, if I could still throw, and I would be honored. But let's that could be next year because he's in the majors now. So just
oh okay,
yeah, all right. So all right. It could be next year at Franklin Park, right on the road. I get you tickets. They're free.
The Home Run Derby. All right. I bet
they
you.
They do
I'll
have it for 12-year-olds. So.
Can I sit on a cooler in the outfield
come
and just
on.
Shag balls?
Come on.
So it's going to be broken down 4 days. Think of basically Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, Friday. And what you're going to do is you're going to have 2 days of exercises done twice. One is a full body push. One is a full body push day. The next is a full body pull day. So you're hitting your full body, but you're doing basically different muscles. Think of more so frontal muscles and posterior muscles.
Yes, front and back.
So the first day, you're going to basically cycle through a back squat, and you're squatting down as low as you can go. Put catch bars in to kind of get down to that range of motion, opening up your hips. Yes, I know. I like to go, you know, A to gray. Yeah. For lack of better terms, we're trying to keep this family friendly. Butt to ground doesn't sound as rhyming, but you know what I mean. And then right after that, dumbbells for bench press, and that's that end range. Same thing is we're going down all as far as we can stretch, and then as soon as we feel that stretch and that tightness, that's when we're exploding up.
Okay.
And then basically from there, you're going to go to just a seated leg extension. Once again, working the quads.
All right. So if I don't have seated leg extension, what would be the variation?
You can do a reverse Nordic. So a body weight reverse Nordic where you're kneeling down on your legs, you're keeping the core tight, keeping your hips tight, tucked, and you're basically leaning back. Yeah. And then as you feel that stretch in your quad, like once you get to that end range where you feel like your knees are going to come off the ground, then you basically drive forward with your shins, if you will, and that's going to activate the quads to pull you straight up. So it's called a reverse Nordic curl.
Yeah, no, I got you.
After that, you're going to go right to an incline press. Once again, dumbbells. Full range of motion. From there, get some explosive work into. You're going to do dumbbell jumps. So you're going to grab dumbbells in each hand. Kind of like a slow, I kind of say a mediocre tempo squat,
right?
Dropping down, exploding up, jump as high as you can, land in that squat form. So you're starting in a vertical stance, which is skinny, you're landing in a squat stance, which is wide.
Okay,
work on explosiveness. Then you'll go through your dumbbell flies. Once again, that stretches out as wide as you can go, as far as you can go down. It feels amazing, believe it or not.
Okay.
After that, I'm going to go to a kettlebell reverse lunge with a knee drive. So you're going to step back, and then on your forward stance, you're going to actually take that back leg off the ground and drive it up. Okay. Think of like a knee raise. If you want to make it even more difficult, you can.
Are we holding two kettlebells?
Just one. Center mass.
Center mass. So I'm holding. Okay. Kind of like a
front squat.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Kind of like a goblet.
Goblet.
You can hug it. You can hold it like a horn down or a horn up kettlebell squat. You can do whatever you want, how you want to do it. But I do like holding it center mass because it helps with your balance. If you want to make that one more difficult, which is something I've been incorporating in as well, is a curtsy squat. So a lot of golf has transitional movements from one side to the other. So it has that lateral press. If you do a curtsy squat where you're dropping if I'm doing it on my left leg, I'm dropping my right knee behind my heel and kind of, it's called a curtsy squat. And then driving up so you feel that lateral pressure as well. That's actually done wonders for opening up my hips.
You get that in, open up the hip, that back hip always gets me on the right side. And that was, I was wondering, because I liked when I did some side lunges and that was able, because I go knee up, open, rotate the go when I do my side lane. And I felt like that was opening me up. I never felt like I was strengthening it, but I was at least getting it looser.
Right. You strengthen them up in that open range. Yeah. They're going to open up naturally and feel more loose, not loose, but they'll have more range of motion. And then the last exercise is a half kneel single arm shoulder press, where basically I like to keep the dumbbell neutral. So my forearm's going to stay vertical. I don't like to kind of pull it out to the side. I like to stay in that neutral grip, neutral stance, just to kind of basically drive it up. I do drop the dumbbell below my shoulder, which is bad. But once again, I'm focusing on that first elbow drive up and strengthening all the way up. And I go through that four times for six reps each, no matter what weight I'm using. All right. So it's very like easy to change the variation of it. So basically I can go heavy for six reps. If I want a lighter week, I can go lighter for six reps and I'm still getting my heart rate up. I'm still, you know, burning calories. I'm still, you know, going station to station to station and do it four times in a row as quick as I could.
So why stick with six if I'm changing weight? If I'm going lower weight, why would you, recommend an
eight? That would be me dialing down the volume. If I wanted, if I've been hitting it hard and heavy for like 3 weeks or whatnot, yeah, and so this is what I'm saying is like, if you're trying to do just straight strength, strength training, I would dial it up and go heavier weights that you can still stick with the end range training.
Okay.
For 3 weeks, that fourth week right before Gents Cup, you dial down the volume and you go a little bit lighter, but you still keep that same rep count. That way, at least you're still getting your heart rate up and everything, and you're not just kind of killing your workout that week.
Okay.
And your body's going to basically be freshened and still feel great going into Gents Cup.
Okay. So that would be, if I didn't count
eight
exercises, four rounds. Now, when you do a round, do you do all the exercises or are you doing circuit all the exercises that come back and do all the exercises four
times?
Yes.
So I circuit it. So I'll do
all the exercises. Okay.
Yep. So I treat it as a circuit.
I was doing a lot of those maybe January. And I like the variance of going eight strong instead of just two. Because if I wasn't, I was just doing two exercises back and forth, before the superset. And then I like the circuits as well. So it keeps
When you're older and you want to get in and out, circuits are the best thing for you. Supersets and monster sets and stuff like that, like those are great for the people that have hour and a half, 2 hours. But if you got 30 minutes, run a circuit and there's nothing better than it.
Well, I found that if I do it circuit, I can get to the eight, maybe 10 exercises. If I do the superset, I'm struggling after six. I'm already at the same time. And it's not that I think I'm working slower. It ends up being a touch slower. So that's our push day. So that would be like, if I was doing on a perfect week, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, that's my Monday, Thursday workout.
Right.
Eight exercises. Do you add core on top of that? Or is that hitting most core because we're
all of those are basically, your compound lifts that you are engaging core throughout. Like think of just your half kneeling, shoulder press, you're still engaging your stratus anterior and your core in order to keep you upright, basically. Your squats and your when we get into the push day, your deadlifts and everything like that, you're hitting core throughout.
Okay.
Me personally, my Wednesdays are my core day.
Okay. I love it. I like that. I've actually tried to add in some core on my own at home after being all day. Just sometimes days I need to do something later at night too. So,
okay, cool. Yeah, Wednesday, Saturdays are usually my core days.
Okay. I like that a lot.
And this is, that push day is my Monday, Thursday. And then my pool day is my Tuesday, Friday. And
all right. So let's rip through Tuesday, Friday with our pool day.
Pool, you're starting out with a deadlift. I don't care what deadlift you do. I've been focusing lately on RDLs, but you can go conventional. You can go sumo. You can go trap bar. You can go straight bar. You can go dumbbell, whichever deadlift is comfortable for you. I mean, hell, you can even throw in their Jefferson curl. Some type of deadlift, same thing. We're going four sets or four rounds of eight exercises, six reps, full range of motion. That's why I like the RDLs because it stretches those hamstrings before you're actually pulling up. Then we're going pull-ups. Straight pull-ups, strict pull-ups. Then we're going leg curls. If you can't do leg curls, you can do Nordic curls. If you have GHD racks, you can do GHD leg curls. You can do lying on a bench and holding a dumbbell between your shoes to do leg curls as well. So, simple and easy. You can mimic a leg curl pretty easily. If you have a cable machine, TRX. You can do standing cables. Yep.
TRX is one I like to do.
Yeah. You can do them on an exercise ball as well too.
Yes. Yes. Very similar.
Those are good ones too, because you engage the core there. Sure. After that, you're going to just a straight dumbbell row. Make sure biggest thing is make sure you reach with the dumbbell at the end and make sure you don't turn your shoulders at the top.
Now, when you do your dumbbell rows, do you do one arm at a time, both arms at a time?
One arm at a time right now.
Do you alternate or is it like 10 right or six
right?
I'll do
six right, six left.
Okay. They all do differently.
Gorilla rows, I do love. Gorilla rows, I do love just for the sole factor of you're engaging that core the entire time and you don't have a support system in it. But if you're trying to go heavier weight,
yes,
I do like having that one arm on the bench. I don't like knee on the bench, even though a lot of the guys do like the bird dog pose rows. I know that's big in the golf world right now. I'm just not a fan of it. But you know, golf guys are correct. Nobody's wrong, but I do regular rows. After that, I'm going to do kettlebell swings. So once again, activating that posterior chain and working on a little bit of explosiveness there with the lower body. From there, I'm going to go to a wide grip lat pull down and really focus. Like I go in front of in front of my chin. I don't go behind the neck or anything like that. I go in front of the chin. And I'm pretty sure I have not seen it programmed in anybody's program, whether you're a bodybuilder or a athlete in years. But I'm sure there's people out there that still say, hey, it's the greatest thing. From there, I'm going to go into barbell cleans. So power cleans is my biggest favorite probably exercise ever. If anybody told me you could do one exercise for the rest of your life, what would it be? And I would probably say a power clean to a snatch or a power clean to a jerk. Just because you would use every single muscle in your body doing it. But that's a good explosive exercise that works on, you know, lower body explosiveness. You know, basically it kind of, in my mind, it goes to that sequencing aspect of a golf swing where, you know, lower body fires and then upper body follows. So kind of that's where my mind goes to it. From the cleans, I'm finishing off with, I call it the archer's row. But it works on that like T-spine rotation. So you're on a cable machine, you're going low to high on a row, but instead of just a low to high row, as I row with the arm, I'm actually turning the shoulders and reaching down the cable. To basically, and it looks like I'm arching. Like it looks like I'm a bow and arrow. You should love this.
Archery. Yes, archery. I'm looking like I'm archery, not arching, but I got you.
I'm a coxman.
All right,
so that's all eight exercises.
That's all eight exercises. All right, so cleans. Give me a variation of cleans. Not that I don't dislike I don't have elbow anymore, so I can't tuck under.
You can do neutral. Boom, here with dumbbells.
Dumbbells, okay. That's
dumbbell hang cleans. I've done those. Those would be perfectly fun.
I enjoy doing the single arm in an explosion.
You can do them with the kettlebell as long as you have a grip on the kettlebell so you don't turn around, smack your wrist with that thing.
I get it. My watch gets it away sometimes. But I just can't. Like I was actually trying to work with a kid the other day. I have my left can, but I could see the camera, my right. It just doesn't do it anymore. That's from surgery.
You got to jump on that Aussie mobility train that I'm on and try and loosen up those.
I don't know if it's just, I mean, obviously I probably could loosen it up, but for years I couldn't even touch my shoulder.
Because your biceps are too big.
No, that's not it. But I can actually finally touch my shoulder in the last couple of years. Like I used to be up here, right after surgery, obviously it was really bad. So cleans. So when did we work med ball stuff? I know you're big into the med ball tossing.
That's my core day. My core day, Wednesday, Saturday has been my arms and core day. So like your beach body workout. I figure that when I do my pushes and my pulls, I'm already activating my biceps and triceps. So I don't really need to hit them that much. I'll do, just to run through it for people if they want to do 6 days. I'll do basically a four round circuit of
Let's hold off on that. I want to hear that, but I'm going to hold off and keep people wanting more.
A little tease.
Next time we'll hit the core because I'm all into the med ball throwing. I got two baseball players in my class that I have gotten in on it just from, you know, being baseball former stuff that I've done, but stuff that I've transferred from golf to help them into their baseball mechanics too. And they're loving it. They said they're crushing the ball right now, which is good to hear because I know they need some help there. But yeah, we're going to save that for next time.
You know, it's better to hear. And I'll just say this, and it made my head get really big today. Somebody random came up to me today. Now, I was wearing all my gear today at Lark Brewery, but they recognized me from the podcast.
I love it.
They were like, you're from that podcast, Fairway Fit. And I was like, bet. I was like, yes. I was like, you're the first person to ever tell me that, by the way.
Did you
I was like,
get
even
their
my
name?
Even my friends, no, I didn't. But I think I gave him a big bro hug and was like, hey, well, check us out. And he was like, hey, you know, typical winter merch coming out. Yeah. And I was like, tell you the truth, I'd give you this off my back if I could, but I can't.
So would it be weird if you asked for his autograph?
Exactly. You're my first fan. I should have been like, hey, come on the show tonight. You're our first fan to ever realize that that's not family, blood related, and or somebody that knows us.
Well, I mean, I think the conversation about us is out there. Check us out on YouTube. Check us out on all the social media platforms. Like and subscribe, follow, wherever you do. Check us out on our podcast. This should be out a couple of days from here. And, you know, before you know it, Greg, we're a week away from major number two. We have
can't
not
wait.
Locked in the details. I know you can't. You start or get your streak completely started.
I can officially start a streak.
You start the streak. But we will have those details locked in. Check us out on our social medias. We will be posting that. We'll also, you know, we'll get Greg's workout that he has just kind of reviewed for myself. Up there as well. If you're looking for something to do, you know, over the next 4 or 5 weeks, get yourselves ready and make sure you're playing the best golf you can. But yeah, again, hats off. Congrats to Greg, 2025 major number one champion. You know, if I had a cup, like the Fairway Fit Cup that I won, I would get you one. that was a gift from Fairway Fit Cup, but that's okay. You played well. And I think we both agreed it kind of felt like ourselves back again on the golf course the other day, and it felt a little bit natural. So
competitive, but fun.
I still, I'm waiting for somebody to reach out to us, and we're ready to challenge. I mean, I think our two-man game is there, and I think we're ready to take some people on, and, you know, we can figure out if we want to put something on it as well, too. But great talk. About a week from major number two. I'm going to make sure I get started on my workout. Probably beginning tomorrow. I know me and you got to go to work almost at the same place tomorrow, so I'll definitely be able to check you out. Everyone else, follow us on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter.
Like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe. TikTok, we are out there. Check us out. We look forward to hearing from everybody. Leave us some comment down below. All right, peace.